Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 8 tonight. 2 Chronicles and chapter 8, as we've been studying on the life of King Solomon. The life of King Solomon, as God has given to us insight into his life and principles that he lived by that we can glean from and learn from today, and I trust that what we've already been studying has been a help and a blessing to you. Last week, we looked in chapter 7 and basically what to do if you've lost God's blessings on your life. And he told them exactly what would cause him to withhold his blessings from them. But then the most familiar revival text in all the Bible is chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And what a powerful promise God had given to Solomon, and that has passed down through the centuries and to all of God's people. If we ever lose the blessings of God, this is the text that we need to go to be able to find revival, to seek revival. And we've used that in our own church over the past years as well, since we've been in serving the Lord since God established his church some 38 years ago. But tonight now we're in chapter 8, and we follow the life of King Solomon, and we're going to be looking at chapter 8, verses 1 through 11 tonight. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, wherein Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which Hiram had restored to Solomon, Solomon built them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. And Solomon went to Hamath Zobah and prevailed against it, and he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities which he had built in Hamath. Also he built Beth-horon the upper and Beth-horon the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars, and Baalath and all the stored cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities and the cities of the horsemen and all the that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and throughout all the land of his dominion. As for all the people that were left of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which were not of Israel, but of their children who were left after them in the land whom the children of Israel consumed not, them did Solomon make to pay tribute unto until this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work, but they were men of war, and chief of his captains, and captains of his chariots and horsemen. And these were the chief of King Solomon's officers, even 250, and that bear rule over the people. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this evening, we thank you for this another opportunity to preach and teach your word and for all of us to glean from it and learn from it. And I pray tonight, God, as we continue our study on the life of Solomon, that you'd give us all the wisdom and insight we need to know, not only understand it, but to know how we can apply it to our lives in this 21st century. I pray that you'd empower and bless the preaching and teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the good and bad associated with Solomon. That's what we find here in the next event in the life of King Solomon, and that God has recorded for our learning. And there's quite a bit right here, and we're going to try to cover as much as we can tonight, because it's something that I believe that we can all learn from. It's been recorded as we study the life of Solomon and the history of Israel that this is something that we no doubt it's been preserved for us to read and study and then learn principles to apply to our lives. In chapter 8, we find in verse 1 through 6, Solomon was very busy in his work that he knew that God called him to. And what a blessing that in itself is. You know, it's just making sure that we stay busy and we use the health that God has given to us. We use the youth that God has given to us. And the degree of busyness will change as we get older, but we ought to always be focused on what we still have yet to give and to give all that we can give to further the work of Christ. Amen? And so in every stage, I remember, boy, as a young pastor, just getting started establishing, being called of God to pastor this Lighthouse Baptist Church. Wow, I think back, that was 38 years ago, and I think of some of the energy and all the vision and everything that I had then, and it was exciting times, and I miss that energy. I miss that youth. things have changed through the years. As we all get older, we all kind of have to focus on what we're able to do, but we should never stop in our service to God. It might change, but we should never stop. And we find here that was the thing about Solomon. After he had led Israel to victory, there was actually no other wars to fight. And David, of course, had fought most of those battles, and then he turned that over to Solomon. But Solomon wanted to then start doing what he was best at, and that was building and establishing a fortress, if you will, for Israel. And if you read there, as we look down through there in chapter 8, verse 2, Solomon built them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. He wanted to expand his land, and he wanted to make sure it was occupied so that if there ever was war, and we'll get into that in just a little bit as well, but they was prepared for that. In verse 4, and he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities which he built in Hamath. He just received Hamath back, and he was using it, and he was building it. He had this vision to continue to build and establish the land that God had given him to establish. And he built, in verse 5, he built Beth-horim, the upper, and Beth-horim, the nether, fenced cities and walls and gates and bars. These were cities that would have been attacked in the beginning if there was going to be war there, and he wanted to make sure that they were the built with walls and gates and bars. And then it says in verse 6 that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and throughout all the land of his dominion. What God had put him over, he was going to make the most out of it. He was going to make sure that he was doing everything that could be done to bless God and to please God with what God had given him to oversee, what God had given to him to use. Now we apply that by looking at 1 Corinthians. Let me just read it to you, a very familiar passage, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. That might change, but always doing all that you can. Always having a vision for why we're still here. What does God have for me to look to do, to accomplish? And praise God for the accomplishments of the past, but you can't take that into the future, amen? You can't just rest on what you used to do and all the things you have done up to this point. No, we're still here, and there's a battle to be fought, and there's victory to be won. And so we learn from Solomon on that aspect. That's good. First thing we learn in Solomon verses 1 through 6, his desire to build and fortify his land was good. My goodness, you can't have a better mindset. You can't have any more of a right thinking than to abound in the work of the Lord. The most important work that was taking place then is still the most important work that has taken place in this 21st century, and that is the work that Christ has given us to do. This world needs the witness of Christ. Our country needs the witness of Christ more today than ever before. And wow, praise the Lord for Solomon's example of serving God, excitement about building and fortifying the land that he had been given. See, in doing that, we learn that in time of peace, he was preparing for the possibility of war. See, that mindset, that goes all the way back, I mean, to wisdom that God gave Solomon. Peace through strength. Hearing a lot about that today. Ronald Reagan made that pretty familiar with a lot of other godly men that have been president of the United States of America over the past, and we've lost sight of that in a few different generations. But Solomon, the wisdom of Solomon that God has given to us, is you do find peace through strength. In the time of peace was preparing for the possibility of war. This wisdom comes from knowing what God's revealed to us about there's evil in the world. There's evil in the world, and every man has a sin nature. That's across the board. That's all people. Again, what's taking place today and what's happening in Israel and all that's what's happened with Hamas and the evil. I mean, the sheer evil, being able to do some of the things that were done. Yeah. And then seeing that so much of the world is accepting that. Even in the United States, we're seeing that happening all over the country in our colleges. And you start wondering what in the world have they been teaching those students in those colleges. What kind of philosophies have they brainwashed them with? The wisdom of knowing there's evil in the world and that mankind has a sin nature reveals we got to be strong, because it is peace through strength. There's no kindness associated with evil. There's no good-hearted terrorists. If they had any good hearts, any compassion, any kindness, they wouldn't be able to be the terrorists that they are. The only thing that evil respects is strength. Satan attacks until Christ comes along. And then the demons, they realize we cannot defeat this power. And they run. But you get somebody trying to act like spirituality, And they come up against these demons, and the demons will destroy them. Yeah. No kindness associated with evil. So Solomon reveals the evil of the world and that which he conquered in the promised land. The reason that God destroyed all the inhabitants of the promised land was because of the evil that was in the land through the inhabitants of the land. And Israel was instructed to go in and utterly destroy to be able to establish what God wanted to establish in the promised land. So Solomon is strengthening Israel for the possibility of evil attacking and trying to take away what God had given them. We find this all the way back in Solomon's day in 2 Chronicles. Now this principle, strength through peace through strength, and the idea of thinking ahead. If you want to continue to with peace, you have to continue to strengthen your nation, because that is what's going to deter evil. This very same biblical principle, even tonight, can be applied to our finances. Sometimes, you know, we don't think ahead with our finances, and you're going through a time of plenty. And instead of thinking ahead and preparing for the droughts and preparing for the times that you're going to be maybe not as prosperous, then you spend everything you have and you don't think ahead. And I think that's something that we need to be aware of, that when God supplies, we need to be aware of how much of this should I put back in reserves for what might come my way if evil attacks, if something evil happens or whatever. God will supply, but God gives us wisdom to know how to prepare for evil attacks. And so we just learn to do that. We learn to look to God for wisdom in every area of our lives and follow biblical principles in every area of our lives. When it comes to war, this is a biblical principle. When it comes to our own financial status, this is a biblical principle. And so learning these biblical principles are very important. So verses 1 through 6, Solomon was abounding. He was busy doing everything that he could possibly do to be able to strengthen Israel. The second thing we look at here, verses 1 through 6, he reveals that all the buildings, everything was going on. In verses 7 through 10, he knew of the wisdom of loyalty and supporting those that are of the like mind and purposes, those working together for what God wanted to have accomplished. Look with me, verse 7. As for all the people that were left of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, which are not of Israel, they did not have the same God as Israel. They did not have the same belief as Israel. They did not have the mindset of Israel. But their children who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel consumed not, those that were not destroyed, those that were not consumed, them did Solomon make to pay tribute unto this day. The bondservants were made to perform all the tasks of building, and that was their purpose for life. They were to be watched, they were to be overseen, they were to have particular responsibilities that they were given if they were going to exist in the land. They would pay tribute, they would be under tribute to Israel, to Solomon, not of their own choosing, but Solomon understood the mindset He understood exactly what they would do if they were able to do what they wanted to do. And so their purpose and their of life, they were, as this is his history, anytime they were conquered, a nation was conquered, and those that were survivors of that, they would become slaves to who conquered them. That's just the history. But in the Bible, this is principle that we're looking at here. The principles of what was taking place there in the land, and Solomon made them bondservants. They would not hold any positions. They would not be over anyone else. They would not be able to cause division in the land. I wonder today how many politicians might need to be taken out of the positions that they hold because they don't agree with the laws and the mentality of those who have made this nation great. And but the freedom of religion is one of the things that have made this nation great. So Solomon, the Bible reveals to us that he made all of them to pay tribute unto this day. They not only paid tribute, but the Bible says in verse 10, and these were the chief of King Solomon, the officers. Verse 9, but of the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work. So we find that all the others were the servants for his work. What they wanted to have accomplished, what they had their lives there to do, they were to pay tribute and to serve as workers, building and doing the things that they were instructed to do by King Solomon. So then that made Solomon's loyalty and support was given to his people. Verse 9, but the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants of his work, but they were men of war, chief of his captains, captains of his chariots and horsemen, and these were the chief of the King Solomon's officers, even 250 that bear rule over the people. So again, we look at this and we are to learn from the principles established in the Old Testament. That's what it's there for. A lot of other things have changed. We're not under the law and all the different things. Christ changed it all. He brought to us the mindset of Christianity. But Christianity is what we need to be established and supporting today. Solomon's loyalty and support was given to those of like mind and purpose. Like mind and purpose. They would be, first of all, soldiers that would sacrifice their life for the cause of Israel, for the cause that they had established, the nation of Israel. They were the soldiers. They prepared for battle. They stayed ready for battle. Again, that was part of the strength, is being prepared for battle. Not really looking forward to battle, but you're prepared. If there is a battle, we're going to win the battle. Amen? Yeah. So soldiers, supervisors, those over the other workers who knew what needed to be done, and they were there to make sure that the right things were being done. They were not treating them badly. They were treating them as they should have treated those workers, but they would not allow them to have positions of authority. They were there to work, and they were overseeing them to make sure that they knew what work they were responsible for. And so we find here that Solomon was supporting these soldiers and supervisors and officers, which would be the politicians of the day. Be those that you put in position to oversee and to make sure that the Constitution is being followed, what had been established. I'm telling you, there's so many similarities when you study the scriptures, and you I have to be able to understand it and to be able to understand that we're not under the law and we're in a different dispensation, but at the same time, principles never change. Biblical principles are the same. And Solomon, the wisdom of learning these biblical principles. This was another good that we can glean from the life of Solomon. Nowhere to support, know what to support. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus taught this principle. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Jesus, your mother and brethren are here, and they think that they should be given priority to speak to you. And he says, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And this explains, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, you're connected to the purpose of our existence. You're connected to knowing who it is that we want to please. You're connected to the most important work that has taken place in society. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Does that mean that we should turn our backs on others that are not in the same mindset? No, they become more of a ministry for us. But we don't let them influence what we do and how we do it. We stay focused on Christ. We stay focused on the purpose of our existence, our being here, what God would have us to do. And can I tell you that those that have the same mindset, those that have the same purposes of life, are in need of the support to be able to be the light that God wants us to be in the world. And the ones that are most the time are the ones that can get into our armor, if you will, and to pull us down are those that should be supporting us, our brothers and our sisters and our parents and our own children and on and on and on. We can't allow that to happen. We don't give up on them. We want them to get saved. We want them to get on board, but I cannot support their mentality. I cannot give way of my convictions and allow my children to determine my commitment to Christ. Therefore, we have the church, and God has given us the church as a family. Gives us the family labels, brothers and sisters. It's a household of faith. It's a household. That means family. Because if you don't have the household of faith, if you don't have the church standing strong, the society is not going to stand strong. What's happened for the most part in this 21st century, in what the day and age we're living in, is the church has lost its testimony. And the people don't see what they need to see in the light. Especially in Christianity. Solomon realized who he was going to pay tribute, who would be under them, who would not be able to hold positions, who would not have an opportunity to influence the rest of Israel. And then he made sure by putting those that he knew he could depend on, who were loyal to him and the purpose of Israel, and he put them over them. And then he put them in the place of officers, and he put them as soldiers who would fight for Israel because they were all in tune with the message that God wanted them to present. We need to be in tune with the message that God wants us to present. Galatians in chapter 6. Again, this is just Jesus presenting this very same principle that we find in the wisdom of Solomon presenting. In Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, and in due season we shall reap and if we faint not." Always be ready to do good. We've studied that on Sunday night. Jesus taught that. Not just on the Sabbath day, but any time's a good time to do good. And we need to not be weary in well-doing. That's loving one another. That's following the heartbeat of God, who God says, "For God so loved the world." The love of Christ presents us to even sacrifice so that others might come to know Him as Savior. Sacrifice our will. Sacrifice many things that we might want to hold on to if we have to, but we're here to be the light, and the Christianity is not a light of evil. It's not a light of battle. It's a light of love and a desire to have people to know the true God and to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That's a difference, and a lot of the philosophies, principles are the same as what we find in Solomon's day. You have to support those of the same mindset. You have to know who they are. And you can't put them in positions where they can go opposite what we're trying to accomplish. So let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. God's going to bless us for whatever we sacrifice, for whatever we do to help others. But as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially. Because they're the right mindset. We need more of those. We need to continue to try to disciple those. Help those to understand the truth. Because most of the world is blinded by lies. Right now, a lot of the people that are doing what they're doing, supporting the evil atrocities of Hamas, are blinded. They don't believe it happened. I mean, on and on and on, we could go into different things, but the blinders, Satan blinds the minds. The Word of God opens up their minds, reveals truth. The life of Christ, my goodness, what a life and representation to how we are to live. So Solomon, loyalty and support was given to the people of like mind and purpose. That's strength. Strength, you have to do that to maintain strong strength. And if you aren't strong, then you're not going to continue to have peace. Because there's evil out there that wants to take in what you have. And there's a lot of evil in the world that would love to take what America has. Yeah. So then, the last part of tonight. And we're not going to be able to get far into it, but I do want to begin. Verse 11. I wish I didn't have to go here. We knew it was coming. If you've read the Bible and you studied the life of Solomon, you knew it was coming. Did good things. Stayed busy. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Put his loyalty where he needs to put his loyalty. Supported what he needed to support. We need to support what God wants us to support. And then Solomon, verse 11, brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. Built her a separate house. For he said, "My wife," he married the daughter of Pharaoh, "shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, meaning she's not. She's not holy, so she can't live in a holy house. She can't live in the presence of God. For someone who has been the wisest man on earth, you think, how stupid. Yeah. My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. Because the presence of God is there through the ark of the Lord. Can't bring my wife. So this would be the beginning of the end for Solomon's walk with God. Does that nullify everything up to this point? Not at all. Because what made Solomon great and what gave him the wisdom was God. It was God's wisdom. It's God's ways. I've had people say, preacher, the church I grew up with and got saved in, the preacher run off with somebody, and did that nullify all those who got saved under his ministry? No. It wasn't that preacher that saved you. It was Christ. It was God's word that changed your life. Sad that you don't have that person to look to anymore as an example, because you can't look to him as an example. Sad that you can't have the kind of fellowship that you wanted to have with someone that led you to Christ and that lived a life or good in the beginning, but no longer. Sad. Satan's got a victory there. But it's not his work. Whatever God has worked in and through my wife and I for the last 30 years, it's Christ's work. Praise God that he was able to use us and will continue to whatever, but it's his work. We're just his servants. And all of you that teach Sunday school class, you're the servant of the Lord. You might need to realize the damage can be done if you mess up. And Satan might use that in the lives of those that you've tried to help all these years. It's not worth that. That might help keep you on track as to realize how important your testimony is when it comes to others. But if someone does, it doesn't nullify the good that was done during those years. Because that's the work that God has called us to, and the work God has called you to. So Solomon, there's going to be a lot here as we finish up on the life of Solomon that we can glean from, but this would be the beginning of the end of Solomon's walk with God. Solomon would understand that marrying Pharaoh's daughter was not God's will. But he still made her his main wife. Now, there was a lot of things in the Old Testament, again, that we'll get clarification when we get to heaven concerning multiple wives, concerning the different things. Jesus clarified that somewhat. We'll get into that as well, where it's always been God's will for one man, for one woman. But in this particular time frame, God winked at that idea and allowed certain things to take place, never in the perfect will of God. But they did not have the teachings of Christ. They didn't have all that they needed to make the right decisions on, especially on marriage and respecting one another and the position of a man and the position of a woman. And there was a lot of things in the Old Testament. We're not under that anymore. Jesus presented exactly what was God's will from the very beginning concerning marriage, concerning the respect of submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, all the different things are there. So we're so much more accountable today than what they ever was in the Old Testament. They didn't have that. So that's just a little insight into what we will be getting into. But 1 Kings chapter 11, and I'm running out of time, so 1 Kings chapter 11, this is what took place when Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. So this was something that he yielded to that allowed him to go even further in this direction of sin. Women of the Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites and Zidonians and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. He knew this was not the will of God. He yielded to an arranged wedding to connect the two nations. And this was somewhat very much part of history. When the national leaders of different nations wanted to unite, they would unite with children. They would have arranged marriages where they would then bless the offspring of those arranged marriages, and looking to this as uniting the two nations. So we find here that Solomon put more stock in the fear of Egypt to do what he did than the fear of God, which would have been the beginning of the end. Solomon had faith. He wouldn't bring her into the house of the Lord. He built her a separate house, which he knew how holy God was. But he was not strong enough in his faith to make the right decision with Pharaoh's daughter. How many have been strong in faith but not strong enough and continue to make a wrong decision? Two houses, living a double life. It's never the answer, and it's never good. Having double sets, two sets of friends. I can do this with this group, but I can't do other things with this group, but I can do this with this group. And who wants to live a double life? Double standards. Closing with James in chapter 1 that addresses that principle. James in chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Solomon had great wisdom, but he failed to ask for wisdom in making this decision. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Wavering. Between one or two things. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This was a double-minded man. A double-minded man with wavering faith is headed for instability. Sad. Solomon is headed for instability because of his lack of faith to make the right decision when it came to marrying Pharaoh's daughter. Wow. A lot of good that we can glean from the life of Solomon. There's also a lot of things we can learn what not to do in Solomon's downfall. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. I love to look and focus on the good, but the truth of it is God's recorded that which is negative, not so good. And the results of that are instability. That's the same today. Trying to live a double life, trying to live by double standards, being wavering in your faith will lead to instability, not strength. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for the study of the life of King Solomon. And even as we get to this portion of scriptures that you have preserved for us, there's so much to learn from it. So I pray that we would all be open-minded to receive the truth and be able to apply the very same biblical principles that we need to learn and understand and apply to our lives here today. Bless in the invitation at this time. In Jesus' name. Amen.